A reading from the book of Exodus. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of Yahweh. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am Yahweh. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to Yahweh. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And then he said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of Christ.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, Surely not I, Lord. He answered, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. He replied, You have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Breathe on us, breath of God, and fill us with life anew. On this special night, let my tongue speak your words, and let the ears of others hear your voice. Amen. How did your family celebrate Christmas when you were growing up? Am I correct in assuming it meant special decorations, colored lights, and lots of special food? Roast turkey with stuffing, mashed potatoes, a variety of vegetables, and cranberry sauce. Then, of course, there were the stockings and the presents, and setting up the tree, that had its own ritual. The grocery shopping had been done in advance. Some food had been prepared already to bring forth at the proper time. No matter how you kept Christmas, it was a special feast day with its own predictable rhythm. Passover for the people of Israel was something similar. It kicked off their new year with festivities, good food, and family time. Trish read for us in Exodus how it all started back in Egypt, where their ancestors were doing hard labor and longing for a place of their own where they could live and raise their families in peace and safety. Passover was the start of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt under Moses. They took all the loot they could carry, miraculously crossed the Sea of Reeds, and headed into the desert. Yahweh fed them with manna from heaven and water from a rock. At the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses brought them into covenant with Yahweh and gave them the law, or Torah, which is summed up in the Ten Commandments. It was this law that made this rabble of escaping slaves into the people of Yahweh, a nation noticeably different from those around them. The people of Israel celebrated Passover every year, reliving their deliverance from slavery and their establishment as a free nation. Over the generations, the keeping of Passover, like most celebrations, developed more and more traditions around it. By the time of Jesus, it had become a meal of several courses, each with its own blessings and the singing of specific psalms at certain times, and several cups of wine and special foods. There were ritual questions about the reason behind the festival, and these were usually asked by the youngest son. The father would answer, explaining the original Exodus, as though he had been there experiencing it firsthand. Our gospel reading started with Jesus arriving with the 12 apostles to the place in Jerusalem that his disciples had prepared for the evening celebration. The city was crowded with pilgrims from all over the known world. Everyone, the disciples included, would have been excited and anticipating a special night of food, wine, and fellowship. Matthew does not record much about the dinner itself for us, probably because his Jewish readers would have been familiar with a typical Passover meal. Matthew saves his words for telling us where and how Jesus broke with tradition. The meal would have begun as expected, course following course, with the typical blessings and hymns and symbolic food. Then while they were eating, Jesus goes off script and drops a bombshell of a statement. "One of you will betray me," just like that. This was not part of the usual words these men had memorized when they were boys and heard so many times around the table. I imagine them looking at each other and going, "Betrayal? Did I hear that right?" Evidently, they were accustomed to Jesus being correct about these kinds of things because they immediately thought and then one by one asked him, "It's not me, is it? Surely I'm not the one." Jesus replied that one who had eaten with him, walked with him, talked with him, that one would betray him. And ultimately, that man would wish he had never been born because of it. Once in junior high, I was not betrayed exactly, but I was abandoned by a friend. And when I learned that I had been dumped, it broke my heart. But here was something even worse for Jesus. Hospitality was a really big deal in his culture. Eating with someone made them your ally, your brother. You could rely on them to defend you, to be on your side in a fight. And here was the biggest betrayal of all. It wasn't just any disciple, but one of the 12, one of those closest to him. And it turned out it was the one entrusted with a common purse. Judas would have been the one of the 12 that seemed to be above suspicion. There are various motivations attributed to Judas, but we really don't know what was going through his mind. But Matthew does tell us it was premeditated. He had made arrangements with the temple authorities to lead them to Jesus sometime when he was relatively alone and away from the crowds, so they wouldn't be making a scene. Now, around the table, Judas asks Jesus, "Surely not I, Rabbi?" Perhaps it would have looked weird if he was the only one who didn't quiz Jesus about whether it was him. And Jesus' answer is, "You have said it." That is a yes. And I like to think of it in our words. He might say, "Your words, not mine." Jesus knows what Judas was planning. And Judas maybe knew that Jesus knew. Now, Jesus could have incapacitated Judas some way, prevented him from carrying out his plan of betrayal. Maybe he could have paralyzed him or struck him down or took away his voice or something. And if it was me, I was thinking, yeah, I'd be tempted. But no, Jesus allows Judas to make his own decisions. even if it brings harm to Jesus. In John's account of the gospel, Judas leaves right after this exchange with Jesus. And no one thinks anything of it. He and Jesus often had private business together. But the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't talk about Judas leaving. It very well could be that Judas remained at the table for the rest of the entire meal. Jesus did not exclude the one he knew to be his betrayer. He included him with the others until Judas himself decided to exclude himself. Our reading of Psalm 55 gives us an idea of what this would have cost Jesus. One who had worshiped with him was turning against him. One of his closest friends was lying to his face with speech smoother than butter, but with a heart set on war, with words that were softer than oil, but in fact were drawn swords. We will later hear tonight how distressed Jesus was in the garden. Our psalm uses the words anguished of heart, afraid and trembling, wanting to fly away and leave it all behind. But for now, at the table, Jesus carries on with dinner, treating Judas as a close companion. Jesus is demonstrating his own teaching to love one's enemy and to do good to those who want to hurt you. And in the reading we'll go over later, we have Jesus greeting Judas in the garden as friend. When Peter pulled out a sword to fight, Jesus tells him to put it away. Jesus points out that if he wanted, he could call on God to send more than 12 legions of angels to come to his aid. A Roman legion is the building block of the Roman army, and it has 5,000 men in it. One legion of angels would have been more than enough to put a stop to what was going on. And it's significant that Jesus does not call down angels to help him. He trusts the Father with his life. Literally. He determined earlier in prayer in the garden to continue in obedience to God, to go through with whatever the night might bring. So even with the heartache of Judas's betrayal, Jesus continues to celebrate with his closest friends. The dinner continues as expected. I imagine some laughter with teasing and joking amongst the disciples, mixed with some concern over this talk of betrayal. Towards the end of the meal, as things were winding down, Jesus goes off script again. He adds something new to this age-old celebration. As was expected, he takes the last loaf of bread. He breaks it into pieces and gives it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat." But then he adds new words. "This is my body." That they had not heard before. Jesus associates his living body with the bread of the Passover meal. Now, the disciples would have known that the unleavened bread of the Passover was identified with the manna their ancestors gathered every morning in the desert and which sustained them for 40 years. So this loaf was a symbol of the bread from heaven. Now, Jesus is saying he himself is bread from heaven, that he himself nourishes and sustains his followers on their journey through life. After that, Jesus takes one of the last cups of wine that was shared throughout the meal. And again, he says something new and different. He calls it the cup of the new covenant, and the wine he calls his blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is claiming that a new covenant has arrived and that it is formalized and sealed with the shedding of not the blood of a sacrificial animal, but his own blood. This meant he was giving his life to bring in this new covenant, allowing for the forgiveness of sins. To truly appreciate how these Jewish men would have interpreted Jesus' actions and words, We need to go back to the prophets of Israel. Moses was considered the greatest prophet in the Hebrew Bible. Moses brought them the law. Under the covenant, Yahweh would be their God, and they would be Yahweh's people, living in obedience to the Torah, distinct from the nations around them. Now, a covenant is just a formal agreement between two parties, and it's solemnized, or sealed, by animal sacrifice. The two parties here were Yahweh on one hand and the people of Israel on the other. Some of the blood from the sacrificial animal was thrown at the base of the altar, representing Yahweh. And some Moses sprinkled on the people. It was like saying, "May I be as dead as this animal if I fail to live up to my commitments under this agreement." And we know from the Hebrew Bible that the people of Israel stumbled again and again, trying to live up to their commitment as Yahweh's people, which ultimately led to their being taken away in exile to Babylon. The book of Deuteronomy, which is a refresher of the law for the second generation after leaving Egypt, says that Yahweh would later raise up a prophet like Moses from among the Israelites, and that prophet would speak God's words, and that the people were to obey those words. In Jesus' day, the people were still awaiting this new Moses. When this new Moses appeared, the people also expected new manna, new bread from heaven. And we read in Jeremiah, the prophet, who lived about 800 years after Moses and 500 years before Jesus, about the promise of a new covenant still to come. Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband. But it is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." So the disciples, like every other Jew, they were waiting for a new Moses, a new manna, and a new covenant. We have learned in our exploration of Matthew's gospel account over the last months that he goes out of his way to present Jesus as the new Moses. We have learned how Matthew sets up parallels between the life of Moses and the life of Jesus. Moses taught obedience to the instructions of God. Jesus taught a new way of thinking, and that new way of thinking would result in obedience to his teaching. With Jesus, the commandment, an eye for an eye under Moses, which was meant to limit vengeance, became love your enemies and pray for them. In this Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus not only claimed to be the new bread from heaven, but he is saying that the new covenant will soon be inaugurated, and inaugurated by the spilling of his blood. And this blood would not be sprinkled on the people like Moses did, but taken internally, symbolically, by drinking of the wine. Those who drink it acknowledge they are participating somehow in his death and committing themselves to not just behaving differently, but to actually being different on the inside, to being new people who keep these extended commands of Jesus that are summed up by Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount and by John in the new commandment to love one another as Jesus had loved them. I said the sacrifice of an animal ratified a covenant by the parties essentially saying, "Let me be as dead as this animal, you know, if I don't keep my part of the bargain." By inaugurating the new covenant in his own blood, it's like Jesus has anticipated that we will struggle to keep this new covenant. And as one of us, as the Son of Man and representing us, he's preemptively giving himself over to death to let us off the hook, so to speak, when we don't measure up. We don't have to worry about failing to keep our side of the bargain. The death of Jesus has taken care of that. We cannot be condemned for being imperfect. We can focus on thinking differently and living differently and being inwardly transformed by Jesus' life-giving spirit without being concerned about the ramifications if and when we don't. Jesus was the new Moses. He came as a new deliverer, not from slavery, but from sin and fear and brokenness. He would be a new savior, not of the firstborn from the angel passing over the house, but of all people by healing our relationship with God and allowing us to start over again and again and again. Jesus inaugurates the new covenant where we don't just act differently, but where we are transformed from the inside out, becoming a new people for whom God's way becomes more and more natural as we practice. As the new Moses, Jesus gives his disciples a new celebration, like a new or extended Passover, with special words and new symbolic food. In the bread, he calls himself the new bread from heaven. With the cup of wine, he calls the shedding of his blood the covenant, the sign of a new covenant with God. And by sharing this bread and wine in this new celebration, his disciples were to remember him, his life, and his time with them, and his teaching, but also to bring to mind, to relive once again, his death that brought about forgiveness of sins. As we soon do here, as Jesus did this very night with his first disciples, let us relive the intimacy of the moment when he took, blessed, and gave his disciples bread and wine representing himself, his person, his life, given for them to bring about a new covenant where sins are forgiven and people are made new. As we take the bread and wine into our bodies, let us be reminded that we take Jesus, his life-giving spirit, into ourselves. Let us allow him to remake us from the inside out into those for which living out his teaching becomes more and more natural as we are transformed more and more into being Christ-like. Let the eating of the bread and the drinking from the cup be signs for us that we have bound ourselves to the person of Jesus and to living according to his teaching, which he demonstrated for his followers this night of all nights. Amen. When Jesus and his disciples had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to Peter, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. When Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, Jesus went away for the second time and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came and found the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him. At once Judas came up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you are here to do. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.